All right, welcome to the live stream, everyone. As you can see, Dan is in his. Dan has just so many properties. This is his. How much was this, Dan? This view?
I bought. See, over to here, I own all that. So it was like 1.1 billion.
We're in the billions now. I forgot.
I have my own cattle and everything. I feed myself. So, okay.
Between like the Manhattan penthouse and the like Tokyo, a nice, beautiful apartment. Let's see what we have in here. Santa, Ray, Bobby, Bo, Robin, Jose. Welcome. So this is what we do every single week. Yes.
Hello, Robin.
Everybody oh, yeah, we gotta now. Say, everyone's got to say, hey, Robin. We got to fill the chat with hey, Robins. In there.
Hey, Robin. Everybody, hey, Robin.
It's not an AI. Dan's background is not AI. It's absolutely real. Those cows are, he's going to go tip them at some point if we get enough hey, Robins in the chat. So we do these every week, and what we'll do is spend the next hour just going through your home buying questions because you're likely in that spot where you maybe have questions about how do I get a mortgage or is this thing that's happening to me during the process weird and what kind of help can I get with it? So that's what we're going to do here. My name is Kyle. So I have this channel, Win the House You Love. And then this is Dan Frio as well with the rate update. And we work together. So we're federally licensed loan officers. We work in all 50 states. We have a team of loan officers who can help you get approved for a mortgage and answer your questions more in depth than we can on a live stream up here at winthehouseyoulove.com. So cool. Feel free to leave your questions here in the chat, and we're going to go through those. But Dan, do you want to update us on just what's been happening with the market, interest rates, sure. Are banks collapsing, and is everything falling apart?
So if you guys, hopefully you guys check out my channel, and some of you guys might be from here, or you check out my 3 o'clock live. What I do is I try to do a video every morning to give you guys the economics behind things, because Kyle, and we have another YouTuber that joined our team, Nicole Nark. I let them do their thing with the explaining the guidelines and all that stuff. But I like economics. So I go with a morning video every day and I tell you what's going on with the markets, the stock market and all that. Then I come back at 3 o'clock each day and answer those questions, because here's my whole, I guess this is my new pitch line now. The schools are failing us, okay? What I mean by that is my kids went off to college and I've been in the mortgage business for 30 something years. And it was kind of embarrassing when my kids, you know, they didn't even know how to balance a checkbook. And I'm like, wait a second, what are you taught in school? So I'm taking it upon myself. So what I do is I go over all the, you know, economics, what's happening and so forth. So this week and last week, all the news was inundated with the banks collapsing. Guys, let me just make it clear. There's a ton of hype behind this because the media needs your attention. Okay, but so this isn't systemic, meaning it's not going to run rampant throughout the whole industry. Federal Reserve came in and opened up what they call their window. They're solving all those problems. So, you know, that's all in the past. The nice thing is for the past 2 or 3 days, since we've had no news about bank failures and so forth, everything is stagnant. So rates aren't really moving, bond yields aren't moving, the stock market's moving a little bit up and down real nice. But other than that, you know, I like stability, and I'm sure you guys would too, because it's like, you know, one day last year rates were at 2.99 and then 6 months later they're 7. That's a hard market to go through, and I understand what you guys are going through. So the markets should be settling down. Dow Jones is good. Earnings are going to start coming in. But, you know, rates are, they were all over the map. But now that this bank thing, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out on this in the next couple weeks, if not months, that it's either going to get shoved under the carpet or there's going to be a lot of heads rolling. I'm not going to reveal that now, because check out my channel, because I can give you all that information on that one. But Kyle and I work together. We're not competing channels or anything. I'm not his guest. We are coworkers, and this is what we do for a living.
Did I ever tell you the time I was on Javier Vidania's stream and he just labeled me as guest and didn't know it, and it was turned into a whole thing? Oh, it was just like a passive aggressive like guest. Like, wait, okay, you can at least say like my first name or something. Cool. Well, we already have some questions coming in, so you want to go ahead and get started on that, and then what we'll do, we'll maybe answer questions for the next couple minutes, and then I want to touch, Cassandra said I thought you all were father son. Well, you'd think with how much we call each other, that's a possibility. And then we'll get into this new down payment assistance program that has come out. So it offers up to 20% down payment assistance. It's a really cool program. So we'll explain a little bit more about that. But let's jump into some questions here. Let's see. So Kat, you want to throw up some questions whenever you see them coming in? Oh, it's not showing. That's fun. Could you maybe resend me a link and then I'll get that updated. And in the meantime, let me go ahead and answer Jose's question. So he said, do banks require you to have a certain amount in savings or checking accounts? Dan, you want to take that?
No. So, well, it depends on what kind of transaction you're doing. Some loans might require it. It's called reserves. So basically what we talk about is you're going to need X amount for your down payment. So that's going to get swiped away. So the reserves are basically what's left over at that point. If you're buying a multi-unit or investment property, they're going to want reserves. If you're doing a jumbo loan, they're going to want reserves. FHA is not going to want reserves. Conventionals for first-time home buyers and you know, the 3 or 5% down programs are not going to require reserves. You're going to need reserves, though, if you're buying a duplex. Even if you're living in it, you have a 2 or 3 or 4 unit that you're buying that you're going to move into it, you're going to need some reserves. But FHA also does not require reserves. So it depends on the product. But most cases, if you're buying your first house, it's a single family home, you're not going to need any reserves.
Sweet. Let's see who else. Nestor said, I have a bad credit and will be a first time home buyer. Do you want to address that? And then I'm going to work on getting these comments back up on the screen here.
So let's just go through one of the biggest, I guess, questions or conflicts we have with a lot of borrowers is I heard one of the sales guys today, if you're working with Dave, he's on our team. He was going back and forth with a young man. And so let me just disclose kind of the credit and credit scores and things like that. You might think your credit's bad, but when we get it, it might not be bad. You might think your credit's bad, and when we get it, it's absolutely terrible. Okay, so but what I want you to understand is you have probably 50 different credit scores. So many times it's very unlikely that the credit score that you're showing that you have is going to match ours. I won't say it's impossible, but it's almost probably mathematically impossible. So the best thing I would want you should do is I use a system called Smart Credit. And Kyle might have that link down below. It's a system I use. That's why we promote it. And it's like my DIY. It does everything for me. I can track my credit scores. There's what-if simulators on there. And here's what I mean by that. Let's say your credit scores are 560. And you want to get a 580 credit score because 580 will get you into an FHA loan with 3.5% down. The what-if simulator says, okay, I have $3,000 I can spend to fix my credit. What if I did this? And you could start manipulating. It'll even tell you, it'll say you have a Discover card, a Capital One card, and these two other accounts. Pay this one down $300, pay this one down $400, pay this one down $50, and pay that one down $75, and you'll pick up 50 points. Do exactly what it tells you, and you'll pick up those points. If you need to do credit, you need to send out dispute letters, you could do it internally there. You want to try to do, have the system work and help you do a settlement for release and things like that. There's a ton of stuff you can do with it. It's called Smart Credit. It should be in the link down below. If it's not, check out my channel, The Rate Update, and it's down below in those links for sure because I personally use it.
Sweet. Freedom Girl said, do you guys have a busy season? I feel like anytime the housing market picks up, it definitely gets a little bit busier, which usually is sometime around the spring. But also, I feel like with YouTube, it has not slow down at all. Feels like it's a like constant flow of people who have questions or are looking for help. Andrew said,
if you don't mind us asking, what do you do for a living? Because you're on here and fantastic. I'm just interested, what do you do for a living that you're on here so much? So that's a
Freedom
just,
Girl.
If you want to answer that, be more than welcome to, but you don't have to.
Andrew said, I'm looking to purchase early next year and currently have a day job making $120,000, and a 1099 making $50,000. I'll have the 1099 for 2 years in February. Would I be able to get pre-approved using both incomes combined? So 1099 for 2 years in February. So when you have 1099 income, we'll need a 2 year history. We'll basically average that over 2 years to be able to use it alongside your, I'm assuming the $120,000 is a W-2 income. So you'll be able to use both of those with that 2 year history. No problem at all. Bobby Bo said, pay your credit on time payments, and credit card usage plays a big part on your credit report. Yep. That's a pretty good summary. Santa said, I only have student loans on my credit, no revolving credit. If I were to pay off my student loans, what effect, if any, would it have on interest rates? I don't plan on opening any credit afterwards. You want to take that?
Sure. Unless you have to pay off those student loan debts, I wouldn't, because what's going to happen is you're going to pay those off and they're done, they're closed. Okay, so in most cases, the lender wants to see, so you might have produced a credit score and so forth, but this credit score, to be valid, you have to have X amount of lines open, X amount of accounts paid on time and so forth. So I would be reluctant to pay all of them off. If you have the money, God bless you, hope you can do that. But I would at least keep one open. Just for the time being, you can pay off the other ones if you'd like, and just keep that for now. And you might postpone this a month or two or three. So I don't think you're going to pay tons of interest by holding that off. But that's what I would suggest. Leave something open. What you might want to do is go ahead and apply for a credit card. And depending on how your credit is, that's another reason why you might want to use that smart credit system. Go in there and see what credit card you would be most approved for and get it. Even if it's a secured card where you have to put, 100 or 200 bucks in there, they'll give you a card and you can utilize it from there. It won't hurt you. Okay. It won't hurt you. But just don't get that card and max it out, the first week that you get it and pay it all. If you have the $500 credit line, don't go out and spend 500 bucks. Because then your utilization rate gets bad and your credit scores might not be as well. But that would be my suggestion. Just get another credit card through the smart credit system and then just, buy gas and then pay it off for the next few months. And you'd be surprised on how quickly your credit will build.
Sweet. Let's see. I work two full-time jobs. One started in 4 months ago. Yeah, I work two full-time jobs. One started 4 months ago. Combined income of $170,000. Can I use both incomes for a loan? Can I use school? Let me start with that first one. So to be able to use two jobs, you need a history of working two jobs for 2 years. So unfortunately, you won't be able to use that new income because it started 4 months ago, but you'll be able to use your primary job income. And then you said, can I use school history in my last FTE as having history of working two jobs? No, the school history and, what's FTE? Full-time.
Time education?
Full-time equivalent. Unfortunately, you can't use that. You can use like a degree to count towards a 2-year history for a primary job, but working two jobs at once, unfortunately won't work that way. Let's see. Why... DeVay said, are bridge loans a good option? I'm looking to sell and purchase a new home, and I'm trying to avoid moving twice, and I'm nervous I won't find my new home before I sell my home.
Let me take it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's a great option for you. The tough thing is trying to find one that's cheap. I would take one with a 30% interest rate versus paying a ton of points up front. So here's what most lenders look at. How do we make all, how do the banks make money? They give you a loan and we get our money much cheaper than you get it. And then we make money on the interest and the spreads and all that other stuff. So if I give you a bridge loan, knowing I'm going to be paid off in 3 or 4 months, why would I want to leverage or use up my money to give to you if I have no return on investment? So they're going to charge you probably a bunch of points and things like that to get that money. And that's why they do that, because, we're all in the business to make money, obviously. And it's a fantastic thing to do if you can find one that's cheap and doesn't really cost you an arm and a leg to do it.
An arm and a leg? Let's see.
I got a short sleeve shirt on. I was going to put my arm in and say, go.
That was going to be the cost of it, of entry to get it. Jeff said, and Garrett liked Jeff's question. What are some good ways to make an offer more attractive without increasing the size of the offer? If you can take that. I'm just trying to figure out a little tech issue here on the back.
No worries. Here's what I would suggest you do, and we're more than welcome to do this, is... When your broker or your realtor puts in the offer, let us know. We'll call the selling agent. We'll tell them how good it is. Most of the time, like last year, I'd spend half my day on the phone just, you know, telling people, yes, we got them pre-approved. Because all the when you put in an offer, the realtors, the biggest thing is look at it at their point. They got all these offers. Well, how do you choose? Okay. So to get a strong one, I want to know when this one's closing. You know, that's why they always take cash. Because if you're buying cash, nothing's going to mess up. Give me 2-3 weeks. We meet at the courthouse or whatever. I'll pay you cash. When you're getting a mortgage, something can always come up. I mean, even the last day, I've had people get fired and we couldn't close on their loan. So to make it look attractive, most of them are wanting conventional financing. They're getting a little bit looser on that. Why? Because FHA appraisals are just a little bit tighter. And they a lot of realtors and a lot of sellers think just conventional loans are better people, I guess, or buyers. That's not true. Just having correspondence with us, you know, if you put in an offer, maybe we give you a letter saying we already got this approved. Instead of just having a blank formatted letter, we'd be more than happy to customize any letter that you want. That's the best way to strengthen your offer. And that's why we offer services like this that are customized. You're not going to a huge company and you're just a number. Like we had 3 closings today. I can tell you who they were and kind of the nuances of the loans, because that's how much we're involved in these loans behind the scenes, believe it or not.
Rodney said, do you have special mortgages for law enforcement programs, mm-hmm. et cetera?
Mm-hmm. There are basically the best part of those. It usually comes with a lower down payment, if any, and then you get a lot of costs get waived. But it's normally you don't have as much money that you need to put down. And many of those programs also eliminate or remove the PMI, because when you're buying a property and you don't put 20% down, you have what's called PMI. It's private mortgage insurance. Basically, it's insuring the lender in case you were to default. They kind of get made whole. And that's basically it in a nutshell. Well, that could come to, you know, on a decent sized home, you're talking $300-$500 a month. So if you get into that program and you don't really need as much money down and you don't have PMI, you'll be able to qualify for, you know, that much more of a house because of that. So, but fantastic question.
Let me see what other ones we have in here. Freedom Girl said laboratory technician at a chemical plant in the oil field.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in.
Let's see what else we have in here. Rick said, hi, boys. I'm under contract. New build using builder's preferred lender on an FHA loan, but I have 3 collections. I have a 660, 480, 965. What? That does not sound right. It doesn't even go up to 965. Can I still use an FHA loan? I'm getting 20,000 builder credits. You want to take that?
Can you still get the loan? If they're using the builder's lender. So the first question I was asked, if you're using, and I'm not trying to be smart, if you're using the builder's lender, they should be able to tell you that within a matter of, you know, half hour. You put in an application, they run credit. Let me just show you behind the scenes how we all work. It doesn't matter if you go to me, the preferred lender, Rocket Mortgage, Quick, you know, who, all these other places. You put in an application, we run your credit, we analyze that, make sure everything's correct, and then we upload it into one of 2 entities, or we do both entities, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Those are the 2 entities that approve 90% of loans in the country. Well, that's probably coming down because some non-QM programs, or a lot of non-QM programs coming in, but that's who we all use. Okay, so if it comes out and it's approved, you're good, no matter what. But the one thing you gotta watch is some lenders have what's called overlays. So let's say, for example, you got the approval, but an overlay with XYZ Bank might be your debt ratio can't be over 50%. Well, you got an approval in your hand and your debt ratio's 55%. Well, just because it's approved on that piece of paper from Fannie Mae, let's say, they're still not gonna do that loan for you. So you need to make sure you find a lender or a broker, we would love to help you. Make sure that when we get you approved, where there's no overlays that we're missing or anything else like that, because that can bring you all the way to the almost, you know, 2 weeks from closing, and then it comes out and says, oh, this isn't approved. You know, we're stuck. So that's what I would highly suggest, you know, working with that preferred lender, if that's who you're using. Make sure that they don't have any issues with your collections and everything. And if they do, it's a new construction, you'll have time to fix that. So you should be all good, but just correspond with the preferred lender and make sure they can help you. And if they can't, for some reason, let us know. We'd love to help.
Let's see. Robin said, oh, you can't see me. Would I have to pay for smart credit and can I get all three scores? I already pay monthly to Experian to get my three scores and reports. If you pay to Experian, then that works too. Smart credit has, it's like a 7-day, $1 trial. If you want to check that out. And CJ Matthew said, hello, if I could prove someone else is making payments on a car I co-signed, would that help my DTI? So yeah, if they've been paying on that car for 12 months and have not missed any payments, then we can remove that from your debt to income ratio, which can help you being able to qualify there. One quick note on this is only going to apply to a normal loan and not a lease. So sometimes that can trip people up a little bit, is the lease side of that will not count. Let's see. Robin Willis said, I've been pre-approved, not under contract yet, but have a possible gift. Hey, the comments work now. There we go. But have a possible gift to help with down payment or closing. How do I season if it's actual cash? In other words, the gifter saves their money under the mattress.
So here's a way that you can, if you actually get the gifter to wire the money to the closing, many times you can get around that where you have to source and season it. I would highly get whoever you have as the lender involved right now, get them involved, make sure they know what's going on, because that could be a major issue. So that's, you know, that's a toughie, because if you have to source and season it, you don't have the ability to do that. So now what? So the cash, I hate to say it, cash in today's world is, it can't be documented, so you can't really use it. It's the number one way of laundering money in the world. So that's why most lenders don't take cash. But I'd be interested, if you really get stuck on that one if you're working with a lender now and you need some assistance, please, you know, schedule a consultation, or you can even give us a call. I'd love to talk to you just to, you know, make sure that you're not going down a path to hit a brick wall.
Okay. George said, hello guys, I'm a travel nurse. I'm planning to purchase my first home in a new state. Will I need to find full-time employment in new states in order to qualify and close on a home? You want me to read that
again?
You
know, you know a lot about the traveling nurse stuff, right?
Yeah. So for a traveling nurse, let me reread this. I'm a travel nurse planning to purchase my first home in a new state. Will I need to find full-time employment in the new state in order to qualify and close on a home? Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends if you're wanting to continue being a traveling nurse, which it sounds like you're not wanting to continue being a traveling nurse. Basically, if you're a traveling nurse, then you're going to need a history of doing that for 2 years. The guidelines have changed recently. You can't be a nurse for a year and then travel for a year. You have to be traveling for 2 years to use that income. That's a new rule that has recently changed within the past about 6 months. However, if you're going from traveling nursing to what's the opposite, regular standard nursing, then you'll be able to use that income perfectly fine. It's just that the travel aspect of that, you do need to have a 2-year history to be able to use that income to qualify. Cool. Let's see. Garrett said, if we were able to buy a home with 15% down and want the PMI to come off at 20% equity, and appraisal is required, correct? Is there a risk getting the appraisal and finding out the value has fallen? If we were buying a home at 15% down, I want the PMI to come off 20% equity.
No, easiest way to do that is, even if you get an appraisal, it doesn't mean your bank's going to accept it. So I would call your servicer or your mortgage company, where the statements come from, call the 800 number and just ask them how you get a PMI review, and they'll walk you through those parameters. If it comes in lower, they can't do it. They can't readjust anything according to that. So you already have the loan, you already have the home. I wouldn't worry about that at all. What you're looking for is if it just appreciates now enough. So basically, I understand what you're saying, but no, you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot. You know, if it appraises 10 grand less than, you know, it was when you bought it, they're not going to say, well, you owe us 10 grand back. That's already done. So you can only, you know, basically win on this one, or push.
Cool. See, Christian Garcia said, I recently went on commission only at my job, coming from salary and 50% commission. I'm going to be making more this year. I'm in the fear of lenders taking the average of my previous 2 years of income. So, you have another question, slightly different. So if you went from commission only at your job coming from, or you're going to commission only coming from salary and 50% commission, unfortunately, the 2 years is going to start new with the now you being at 100% commission. So the 2 year marker is going to start today, and you'll need to wait 2 years to be able to use that full income. Now, that's on a standard loan. We do have options to go with, we have a program through the, what's it called? It's like certified through the Treasury Department, where it kind of works almost like a stated income type of loan that we could explore using that helps in these situations. The interest rate's going to be a lot higher, but it's going to allow you to get approved for a mortgage, and then you can refinance into a lower interest rate when you do have that 2 year seasoning with your commission. It's possible you might be able to get away with 1 year of that full commission since you had commission in the beginning, but it's going to be tough to have that done. Let's see. Celsius said, I'm getting a new build home that takes 6 months to finish. Can I use a new down payment assistance for it? They said they will close on escrow before they start the build. Close on escrow before they start the build and delay payment when the home is built. They'll close escrow before they start the build. So if you're talking about the Dream for All program, oh no, Dan disappeared. Okay, hold on. Let me add him back.
There I got booted out for some reason.
With the Dream for All program, they're going to have to do like a full appraisal and inspection on the home. So you won't be able to close before the house is built. For that, you're going to need like a true construction loan to be able to make that happen. And none of the down payment assistance programs that I'm aware of offer any sort of construction. Are you aware of like any down payment assistance construction loans? That's going to be a tough one to find. Ohioan said, do you know any realtors that you would recommend that work in the area just north of Montgomery County? I'm looking for rural, accessible by a tractor trailer with enough space to park. I certainly have somebody in mind. I'll drop my email here in the chat and just shoot me an email and I can connect you with Tanya. Jeff said, is there an ideal way to estimate a house's appraised value? Some online calculators show $100,000 to $200,000 differences.
Any no, thoughts there? I don't know how you do it. I get the same thing. You know, I look at some of these systems because this is one of the biggest things I get asked is they're like, you know, how do we know what the house value is? What do you guys use? I use basically the same stuff you guys do. So I even in my home, I can check three different websites and yeah, I get it where the variance is, you know, in some cases, $100,000, $150,000 and you're sitting there thinking, you know, what is it? So I don't have a recommendation for that. I do have a system, that'll give you a lot of the data, the back data on your home. So if you want to check out my site, you can sign up for one of the newsletters. So just go to therateupdate.com or the Rate Update YouTube channel. And down below, there should be a subscribe button. Hit that subscribe. You'll get periodically, you'll get an email out that'll actually give you, you click it, you put in, you know, your address, and it gives you everything about the house. I mean, it'll give you the filings of the deeds and all this other stuff, and it will give you a value. It's a pretty cool system. So you would go to the Rate Update channel and subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll get those probably quarterly.
Sweet. All right, let's go through this Dream for All program. So there's this new down payment assistance program. It allows 20% down. Let me remove this little top thing. Unfortunately, this is only for California. And even though the video I made said to California, people kept asking like if it worked in their state. It's only California at the moment. It's very unlikely this is going to move to other states unless like independent lawmakers choose to do it in their state. But basically, if you go to winthehouseyoulove.com/dream, what this will do is help you see if you can qualify for the program and then explain it in a little bit more detail so you don't have to figure out all the stuff yourself. And while I'm explaining this, if you have questions not related to this, feel free to leave them in the chat. We're still going to jump back into questions here in just a minute. So the first thing here with the program is there's two big things that you need to qualify or you need to have to be able to qualify for this. One is being a first-time homebuyer, and that's everybody on the loan. So if it's you and a spouse or a partner or whomever, both of you have to be a first-time homebuyer. That means that you haven't been on title to a home in the past 3 years. You also have to be under an income limit that's set by Cal HFA. And this is different depending on the county that you're looking in. So for instance, if we were looking in Alameda, the income limit would be $282,000. And again, that's for everybody on the loan. So for instance, let's say if we're looking in Alameda, let's say our income's closer to, I don't know, 200 maybe, for, again, this is a household. And this will tell us, you know, if we're not a first-time home buyer or we're over the income limit, if we don't qualify. So what ends up happening is from here, we want to take a look at what kind of purchase price we're looking at. So Dan, what do you think is a fair range for?
You know, when I just talked to somebody Monday, it was a young couple out in California, and everything was awesome. And then I'm like, well, what's your problem? They're like, we can't afford a house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, starter homes are $650,000 to $700,000.
Oh yeah.
Put in 700.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything that I was seeing on like, on Zillow here, let me pop up Zillow really quickly and see.
It was discouraging. They're like, my ranges. Credit, I have no debt. I have this, that. I'm like, so what's your problem? They're like, I'm like, then I made a comment. Where you live in California? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah. So let's see. This is 830, 1200 square feet. Let's run with this. Let's run 830 and see how that goes. 830. Oops. I did too much. There we go. All right. So then from there, we'll put in an interest rate. Just as an average, we'll use 6.5%. So our loan amount would be $680,600. So this program is going to give us 20% of assistance for the down payment and or closing costs. So that'd put our monthly principal and interest payment around $4,300 per month. Again, you're still going to have taxes, homeowner's insurance, and any HOA fees if that's included in the house that you're buying. This is just the principal and interest payment here. So what we can actually do is decide how much of this program we want to go towards our down payment or closing costs. So for instance, we could do everything going towards a down payment, and maybe we come up with closing costs on our own, or maybe we ask the seller for some concessions for closing costs. Probably what's going to be beneficial for most people is bringing this back where maybe 18% goes to the down payment and 2% goes to closing costs. So that would give us $150,000 in assistance for the down payment, $16,000 for our closing costs, for a total assistance of $166,000. So then this program is kind of all centered around appreciation. And it's called a shared appreciation loan, meaning that as the house grows in value, Cal HFA is actually going to take a portion of that appreciation when you sell the home. Okay. So it's going to be anywhere from 15 to 20%. And this calculator is going to do all the math for you. So if we were going to look at, let's say, a historic average appreciation over the past 50 years of 4%. And how far in the future do you think we should look, Dan?
8 years.
8 years. Okay, so that home over that period of time at 4% growth year over year would grow to just over $1.1 million. Okay, so from there, you can only refinance once. Cal HFA is going to take 20% of the appreciation when we go to sell this home, right? So the future value in 8 years is $1.1 million. We bought it for $830,000. So we had an appreciation of 305%. Now we don't get to keep all of that because Cal HFA is going to take 20%, which is $61,000, leaving us with $244,000 in appreciation that we got from this program. So then if we want to actually look at selling, we also have some other costs and things to consider. So when we go to sell the home, let's say in 8 years, we need to pay back two things to Cal HFA. Number one is the original amount of assistance, that $166,000. And I feel like I keep seeing people talk about like they're like, this is free money. It's like, not really. You have to pay it back. And also, instead of there being an interest rate, you're basically paying 20% of whatever the future appreciation would be. So like, for instance, if it's a 4% appreciation rate, you're paying 20% of that, which is that 0.6% appreciation? Is that what I'm, is that right? Am I doing math right? 4% times 20%? No, 0.8. That's what it would be. 0.8. So you're basically paying an interest rate of 0.8%, which is extremely low for a down payment assistance program. So we have to pay back the original assistance plus a portion of the home's appreciation. And then let's say when we're looking to sell, we also need to pay things like taxes, maybe a transfer fees, title, a real estate agent. If we kept that around 6% as a cost to sell, and we look at selling in 8 years, we could theoretically get a check back at closing for $237,000 from owning this home. So we sold the home for $1.1 million. We still had to pay off our first mortgage of $600,000. We have to pay back the initial assistance we got and the appreciation share, and also any costs that we have to sell, like a realtor, title fees, taxes, things like that. And we would walk away with $237,000. So overall, this is one of the best down payment assistance programs that I've seen. Not only that it gives you 20%, but they're also not, you don't have to make payments on this loan. You're basically storing CalHFA's money in the equity of your house so that you can benefit from the appreciation. CalHFA also takes a portion of that appreciation. But all other down payment assistance programs require you to make payments usually on the assistance that they give you. Or they have interest that gets paid on that down payment assistance as well. And so by having that 20% down, you pay a lot less in interest on your mortgage. And also your monthly payment is a lot lower than a lot of other down payment assistance programs as well.
I would do this deal. I would take this loan. Seriously. You have no money. Here's how I would structure it. Just saying in my point, I would get all the money, pay down, do a 80% loan to value. So put 20% down. You're going to avoid PMI. PMI, just think on that kind of loan. What would the PMI be on a, what was that, a $660,000 loan?
How much? 680.
680. Okay. So now you're going to have a reduced payment of 680 because you don't have PMI. Okay. So, and this money is virtually given to you. Let's say the house really doesn't appreciate all that much. Well, basically you used all their money to get into a fantastic program. The only thing I'm going to say is I hope this is around for a long time. There's probably grant money that's going to run out fast. And I don't know, guys, this just launched yesterday. But this sounds, you might think the first thing is everybody's like, you can't get free money or whatever. This deal is fantastic. Unless there's something in here I'm missing. And Kyle and I have been digging in on this thing for the last couple of weeks. And I don't really see any flaws in it. Yes, you have to share your equity with them. But what other down payment assistance program is going to give you, how much was that down payment assistance on that loan?
$166,000
down payment assistance loan. If you ever told me that it's possible, I'd be like, there is no way in the world it's possible. Who's going to give you that much money and then hopefully get paid back, maybe 20 years from now? So,
it's, I think what I would do with a program like this is, I don't live in California. I'm on the complete other side of the US, is take whatever money that would have been spent towards the down payment and use that to, if you have high interest debt, like a credit card, get that paid off. Maybe even look at paying off any auto loans that you have. Beyond that, I would look at an emergency fund, and then also look at putting money into like retirement accounts or index funds. I think it's going to be a much better use of money. And I think what's interesting is when I hear people talk about this program like being bad, is they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to take all the appreciation from it. It's like, you only get 80% of the appreciation, but that's way better than not being able to get into any of the appreciation. Because for a lot of people in California and a lot of these really tough markets, is they're not able to save at a rate fast enough to be able to purchase a home that's accelerating so fast in its price growth. And so a program like this really is helping people just be able to access home ownership a lot easier in a crazy competitive market where otherwise they wouldn't have been able to. And so, like, you know, if you had 20% down to put into a program like this, like financially, is it better for you to do that versus using their money and having to pay back? Sure. But if you have 20% to put down on a $800,000 house, you're probably not needing the assistance like this. This is not for the person who has all this money, who has no issue getting into the California market. It's for somebody who is like, I'm sitting on the sidelines and I can't save fast enough to purchase a home. Let's see here. Tai Yang said, how soon can you get your house reappraised after closing? If you're trying to remodel the house quick to hit 20% and get rid of PMI. It's quick to get hit. It depends what type of loan you have. So if you have a Fannie Mae loan versus a Freddie Mac loan, they have slightly different requirements. If you Google, like, first you need to know what type of loan you have. You can ask your loan officer. You can look up like Fannie Mae remove PMI, and it will show you, because there's a couple year, like there's a period of 2 years where you may have to get an appraisal and meet 25% equity. There's sometimes you need 20%. It really depends on the loan type. And then also your situation. And also, where did the value come from? Did it come from improvements, or was it just the market change of the home that brought that? ZL said, won't the Dream for All program just artificially boost home value so that Cal HFA can swoop in and cash on the appreciation? Bad for affordability. It's very likely that this is going to increase home values. I wouldn't say necessarily artificially, because it is true demand, and it is real money that's getting pushed into it. And the program, just like when it was released before, all of the profits from the program get pushed back into the program. So that's a lot of why, like, this program exists now, is because it existed before and a lot of the profits from that got pushed into this new program. It's going to be the same for the future as well. So this, like, Cal HFA isn't like bankrolling.
To add to that, though, you're getting a great situation if you're in those areas. You know, you can piggyback off of this acceleration in values, I guess, and you're using house money. It's a bad way to put it. That's why I'm saying this. It's a fantastic deal. You know, you're getting $140,000 to buy a house. It's enough to remove the PMI, so it's going to drop your payments $500 otherwise would have been. If you were looking to buy that same house and you didn't have this program and you had to put 3% down, your payment would be, we know, $600 more because of the PMI. It would probably be another $2,000 more. So you're able to piggyback off of this. I would say ride with it. You know, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, I guess don't look a gift horse in the mouth, because I'm looking at this as, like I said, if I was buying out there, I would no doubt use their money if I could.
Michael's saying, so what you're telling me is I bought 2 months too soon.
Yeah.
Oh,
the 27th is when it launched, and we've been calling banks for the last 2 weeks to see when they would be, you know, put, because there's only a couple banks in the whole country doing this. We're set up with one of them, and they don't even have the guidelines yet. It launched yesterday, and they're just sending us, you know, they're trickling all their stuff into us gradually. So we're learning it, and we're having it accessible as soon as we can. Okay, Mike, it's like the student loan, the forgiveness plan. I put 3 kids through school, and it's like, I don't even know if you have kids in school, so I'm not trying to bash that. But it's like, you look back and say, okay, I've spent $500,000 putting my kids through school, and now you're forgiven half this stuff. It's like, come on, man. Hello, Robin.
Let's see. This is from your channel. Do you think sellers are back accepting FHA offers? I have both FHA and conventional pre-approval, but the FHA offer has better buying power.
The FHA has better offer? Well, yeah. In your case, yeah. They're basically, everything's getting accepted right now, to be honest with you. The market is, it is specific markets though. You know, that's the tough thing is, like, we just had one of our business partners sold a property in North Carolina, and he got 40,000 over ask and they had multiple bids. And then you go to other areas and people are saying, hey, my house is, and I've got two showings in the last 45 days. What's up? And I'm like, you know, so it's, that's why you really have to watch when you're watching a lot of media, because they'll pinpoint out, like, for example, I was watching a show the other night and they're showing how bad the markets are crashing. And they put two cities, and those two cities are in California, and they're the two cities down the most in value in the whole country. You know, but you could pick 50,000 other cities and you're okay. So you got to watch with the media that you're looking at.
Let's see. Does Trisha said, if I'm on the title and not on the mortgage, would I still be considered a first-time home buyer? Unfortunately, you would not be considered a first-time home buyer. A first-time home buyer is anyone who is on title to a home in the past 3 years. So unfortunately, even if you remove yourself from the title at this point, that now starts the three-year waiting period to be able to be classified as a first-time home buyer. Trisha also, you said, how do I know if a condo or house is good to rent versus sell, especially if my partner and I want to move somewhere else after 3 years living in the home? So how do I know if a house or condo is good to rent versus sell?
I'm just say by your financial position. You know, if you need the money and you need the money from the sale, or just assume that you don't have a tenant pay for a couple months each year, can you afford it? But then you have this market where you could probably get it sold within a week. So it's one of those things. If you can afford it, in the event that it's vacant and you don't need the cash from the sale to buy another house, and you don't mind being a landlord, you know, I'll repeat that, you don't mind being a landlord, because that takes a whole different, you know, breed of person, or at least get a management company to handle that for you would be my biggest suggestion. But it's going to be your financial position.
Verbal Assassin said, a lender just reached out to me yesterday about the 20% down payment. I got right on it. She said it will run out though. I'm in California. Yeah, it's likely it's only going to be available for probably around just over 2,000 households, which is going to go pretty quickly, I imagine. Because he also said, like, we can't save in California. And that is the thing about this program that I don't think people are realizing, is like, people trying to just experience homeownership in California are drowning. And a program like this is really helpful. And so, like, is it going to increase property values? Yeah, probably. But I would rather be on the homeownership side of home values increasing than sitting on the sidelines watching it increase and feel like I can't do anything about it.
I hope they do a lot of due diligence on this stuff, because you can see how this could be really taken advantage of, you know, by investors. You just get straw buyers and just load up, you know, in areas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be really, it's going to be interesting to see how much of these get audited to see if things like that are happening. L. Tang said, good evening, Kyle and Jeff. This is Dan, not Jeff. But we may call him Jeff. I may put a little name tag on him for Jeff for the rest of the stream. Said, if I'm trying to get a mortgage with a cosigner that already owns a home, is their current mortgage payment included when trying to determine our combined DTI? It most certainly is. We'll be combined there. I live in Wisconsin. First-time homebuyer, just got pre-approved for $260,000 through a bank, 5% down. Okay, is there any assistance program for closing costs? They said no. Is there any assistance program for closing costs? Yeah, so we have a program that does assistance for closing costs. Another thing you can do for closing costs as well is get a concession from the seller. So this is basically where the seller would give you a portion or a percentage of the purchase price towards your closing costs. That's the most common way that people tackle that. How long is a pre-approval good for? Well, a credit report lasts 4 months. So usually it's about 3 months of shopping for a home is kind of the maximum. That leaves you with a month to be under contract, meaning you found a house, the seller accepted your offer, and we have a month to close after that.
And if you don't close in time, you can never buy a house again.
Yeah, that's right.
It's really the only thing, the reason why it expires in 4 months is your credit report expires at that time. So we would just have to update your information and just issue, you know, a new pre-approval. So don't do anything crazy during that time when you're, while you're shopping for a house. But I was kidding about, you'll never get a house.
Yeah, it's not, if a pre-approval expires, it's not the end of the world. It's really not a big problem at all. We'll just refresh it and you'll be good to go. Thanks for the info. Question, before knowing this program, I got a pre-approval with that I signed a contract. So one thing to note too is, like, you don't sign a contract with a lender. There's zero obligation to a lender until you sign actual closing documents and purchase the home at the very, very end of the process. So you're allowed to work with any lender. There's no contract legally that you can sign with a lender. The only thing you sign with a lender is an intent to proceed, and you can always work with another lender after that. You said, can I apply for Cal HFA? You absolutely can, even if you're working with somebody else. We're doing this program. You can just schedule a call. Man, I always get it wrong. Schedule a call up here, winthehouseyoulove.com, and we can get you approved for that program if you would like. ZL, would you sell a home with or without carpet? How do you decide? It depends what kind of buyer you're selling it to. If you're selling it to a buyer who's using something like a government loan, it depends on, like, what's the state of the floor underneath the carpet. If it looks like it's unfinished, the government loan is going to require there to be a floor covering. Conventional cash won't be an issue.
I'm glad you took that one, because it had me baffled. I'm like, well, are you looking to pull it up before you take it with you? I'm like, probably wouldn't fit your new house, but I don't know. Maybe it's really cool rugs. So, good call.
It's a sentimental carpet.
Yeah. And we're Daniel,
will a pre-approval affect my credit? A hard inquiry will affect your credit 0 to 5 points. So, yes, but not really. Let's see. Can a buyer use a cosigner that is a homeowner? Yes, you absolutely can. CM said in Europe, they always take the parquet wood floor when they move. Is that how you say that? Parquet?
Parquet?
Am I saying that right? Parquet?
Parquet's floors. I think that's how it says, parquet. I forget. My wife, if she was here, I could ask her, because she'd know. We looked at, when we first started looking at the houses, that was the end thing. Back in the 80s.
Was it getting 90s. That flooring? Parquet. Oh, it's parquet. I'm the uncivilized one here, apparently.
What's that, butter? It's not butter. Isn't that a commercial? It's not butter. It's parquet.
What? What? Are you talking about the, like...
Like, these were commercials during the Flintstones.
Is it for margarine?
Yeah, it was an old commercial back like the 70s. It's not butter, it's parquet. And they would hold up this butter thing, whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But it was when margarine first came out, you know, back in the heydays of my young.
Shaba Baba said, it's been a while.
Hey, where you been?
You're back.
Look, we're still having our Wednesday happy hours. We missed ya.
Said, I'm glad I could catch another live. How soon before someone is ready to buy should they request a no obligation consultation with your team?
Anytime.
Dan?
Truly. I would say anytime. If you're kicking the tires and you just want to, you know, hey, just ask the basic questions that you have. But here's what I'd ask you to do. You know, find out what your credit report is or your credit scores are. You can use any systems you want. But the biggest thing is to do is follow your FICO score, not the free credit scoring systems. So kind of know where your credit scores are. You probably most likely know what your income is and how much money you're working with. So those are just the basics. And then what we do is on the one-on-ones, we kind of do this. We just pick your brain. What are you looking to do? Why you want to do that? Just, you're the boss. You tell us. And we just take notes. And then what we do is, okay, we'll just sit tight. Let's figure this out. And we get back with you and, you know, put you on a game plan. But again, you're the boss. You're the one deciding when you want to do it, how you want to do it, how much you want to spend. We just help you facilitate that. But I would do it sooner than later, because so many people put it off and off and off, and then you apply and then you're stuck. You know, your credit scores went not where you wanted them to be. Now you have no time to do anything. So, you know, do it months before, just to be ready.
Hernan, you said, does PMI go down monthly costs per every 5% down provided, at least until I fulfill 20% down? So PMI does get recalculated annually based on your loan balance. So it doesn't really matter if it's like 5% or whatever it is. But every year it's going to be readjusted based on your loan balance. Dan, this one's from your channel as well.
Let's see today, folks.
Fidali, I think this program cover, will this program cover only down payment or closing costs as well? It can do both. It can do either or. If you want it to, it can cover all your closing costs, which you're not going to need 20% in closing costs. But for most people, it's probably going to be beneficial to do maybe 18% down, 2% towards your closing costs, if you're not getting any credits from the seller. This is from your channel as well. Yolande said, what are the real cons of using down payment assistance?
Most of the down payment payment systems we'll try to talk you out of. We'll say, can we get seller concessions? Can mom and dad give you some money? Because they're terrible. There's hundreds of them out there, hundreds. And usually it comes with inflated rates. They charge astronomical fees sometimes. So some of these programs, they'll give you $5,000, okay? But the rate is about 1% higher than the normal rates, okay? Plus, on top of that, they give you the five. Then they're taking about $1,800 away for their fee. So you're going to be net, you're going to net like $3,200, maybe $3,000, but you're going to pay that back in your rate, you know, within the probably a first year or so. So we try to talk you out of those. Like this program we just went through with the CalHEFA Dream Home, Dream Share, fantastic program. We have this one. There's another one that we have. There's two other ones we have that we really, really like because they're basically free money. You know, you walk out of the closing, some come with a little bit higher rate. So here's how to do it. Get your $10,000 free money, pay the higher rate for 6 months. After 6 months, we'll contact you because we'll put you in our database to reach out. And there's probably going to be a refinance opportunity. If rates just stay stagnant, you know you're going to get a 1% reduction in rate because that rate on the down payment assistance program is already inflated anyways. So there's only a handful, if that, of grants out there and down payment assistance programs that make sense. The rest of them are just, you're just throwing your money away. And it's basically smoke and mirrors.
Freedom Girl, you said, what's that thing you talked about in an older video where your car payment doesn't count on your DTI ratio? That's only if you have 10 payments or less on an installment loan on your car payment. So it does not count for a lease. But let's say you only have 3 payments left on your car, then that won't get counted in your debt to income ratio. Anything above that, though, will. Verbal Assassin said, can I also get a rehab loan with this program? With a Dream for All, you cannot do a rehab. It has to pass conventional loan requirements without any rehab work. And then somebody else asked about rehab. Shanta, you said, is it harder to get an offer accepted with a 2 or 3K loan? I've been listening to your videos on the way to school, but I don't think I've heard you speak about buying from a seller, only empty. So with for those of you who don't know, a 2 or 3K is a type of FHA loan that allows you to rehab the home. So it's usually for a home that's probably not going to pass an FHA appraisal. And so what you would do is you would have a contractor submit bids to do the work, and then the lender would fund all of that for you. So you buy the house and get the rehab. It's all packed into one loan for you. It really depends on the condition of the 2 or 3K, on like how competitive is your offer going to be. If you're looking to use a 2 or 3K to add in maybe like, let's say it's a nice house, but you want to update the kitchen and it's in a competitive market, then a 2 or 3K is probably not going to be the most attractive loan. It's going to take probably 45 days to close that loan. Being FHA, it already kind of has maybe a little bit of a opinion from a seller compared to like a conventional loan that's going to close a lot quicker. However, if this home truly needs some work, and the odds are a lot of other people aren't looking at a rehab loan and they're going to have difficulty being able to actually purchase that home with a loan. In that case, a 2 or 3K loan is probably really attractive because you're coming in and saying, I don't care what the condition of the home is, we're going to use this loan to fix it up. So it really depends on the condition of the home on how attractive that 2 or 3K offer is going to be.
Hold on, I got to check on the cows.
Yeah, how are the cows doing?
They're okay.
Daniel said, can I take advantage of the dream loan, a dream for all loan, if the new house won't be ready until June? You'll just have to wait till June to be able to take advantage of it if the house isn't ready yet. Because you can't close on the program before the house is ready. An appraisal has to be done on the home. Nobody knows how long this program is going to last. They have $3 million set aside for it, which is going to be around 2,300 families. Who knows how many people are going to take or try to use this program. It's possible, in June it's still available. It's possible in June it's not still available. It's really hard to say. I'm sure they'll update us as we see the funding deplete over time. But yeah, I wish I could give you a better answer than that, but unfortunately I don't have one. Cool. And Freedom Girl's car is almost paid off, which is awesome.
Oh, Mike told her, or he told somebody to sell the car.
Sell the car. Dave Ramsey, sell the car, sell the kids.
I don't have my glasses on. I just looked over there and Mike posted, and I'm like, I had to read it. So good job, Mike.
And rice and beans. And Michael, it's good to still see you here after buying. So cool. So we do these every single Wednesday, same time, same place. And what we also do as well, we can't cover all the ins and outs of these questions in depth on this live stream, or else each question we'd spend probably 30 minutes on. So we can do this with you on a consultation call. So we have a team of loan officers who work in all 50 states. We'd love to help you out with a pre-approval if you're looking for, the Dream for All program, or you just want to look at any other type of loan program. You can go to winthehouseyoulove.com, and it has our whole team's calendar on it. So we're not going to play like phone tag and chase you down. You just click a time that works for you, and it will work for us. And we would love to be able to talk with you. Dan, do you have any parting words?
Nope. Just the banking thing is not systemic. Don't fret, folks. The economy's in really weird situation, but all's good. Relax. God bless. Tell a loved one you love them, because you don't know if they'll be there tomorrow. So that's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you all for being here. We will be here again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll talk to you all soon.
See ya.